Salt brings flavor to my food. I particularly enjoy the way sea salt complements the flavor of an avocado. I often pack myself avocados for lunch. I bring a ripe avocado, a little container of salt, and a knife. I half the avocado, mash the fruit up, and stir in the salt. I eat it with chips or even with just a spoon. Sure, I will eat an avocado without the salt, but I do not prefer it, and I certainly won't go out of my way to have it. Salt brings excitement to my eating experiences, and it enhances the natural properties of the food I eat. Without the salt, food can be bland and unappetizing. Sometimes bland is okay. Knowing what is to become can be peaceful for many. Routine gives structure to our lives and brings calm to an often chaotic world. Routine and predictability is comfortable, and there is no growth in comfort. I know this to be true as an athlete. In swim, I have been taught that being uncomfortable leads to progress. If we stay in our comfort zones, we never get better. I also know this to be true as a student. Right now, I am taking a contemporary crises and current events class. The class is mainly discussion-based, and each day we step outside of our comfort zones with conversations about race, genocide, politics, and natural disasters. As a class, we acknowledge that we grow as individuals and as a community through tough conversations. Our beliefs are challenged when we listen to the perspectives different than our own. But if I didn't step outside of my comfort zone and listen to the voices of my minority classmates, I would not have had the opportunity to become more aware of the microaggressions we as the white majority impose on minorities every day. If I didn't step outside of my comfort zone, I wouldn't have to be reminded of the long history our nation has with oppression and white supremacy. If I didn't step outside of my comfort zone, I could be allowed to believe that my accomplishments are due to my hard work alone. But outside of my comfort zone, I know this isn't true. I know that just because of the color of my skin, I'm given significant advantages in society. Hearing me say these things may bring you outside of your comfort zone. Preaching them certainly brings us outside of our comfort zone. But still, I believe there is no growth in comfort. It's only when we step outside of our comfort zones that we grow and better ourselves. And I know this to be true, most of all, as a Christian. When I read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which is where our scripture comes from today, I'm reminded of the love that Jesus shares for everybody, the kind of grand and radical love that pushes us outside of our comfort zones. Right before Jesus tells us to be like salt, he tells us, "Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn, who are meek and who hunger and thirst. Blessed are those who show mercy, purity, and make peace. Blessed are those who are persecuted and reviled." If we're honest with ourselves, that's a sermon that should make us uncomfortable. We may want to be blessed, but we do not always want to be poor, mourning, meek, hungry, and thirsty. We often keep from being merciful, pure, and peaceful, and we avoid, as best we can, being persecuted and reviled. But these are the characteristics, qualities, and people that Jesus blesses. They are not the characteristics, qualities, and people our society blesses. Our society says, "Blessed are the white, heterosexual, cisgender, and wealthy." The difference between what Jesus preaches and what the world proclaims should make us uncomfortable. And from that uncomfortable place, we may hear more clearly who Jesus is calling us to be. I believe Jesus is calling me to use my privilege for good. I believe Jesus is calling me to challenge my own thinking and to use my voice to challenge society around me. I believe Jesus is calling me and all of us to love each other without qualification, to celebrate differences and work to create peace within ourselves, our communities, our nation, and our world. Jesus tells us that we are the salt of the earth. As salt, we are called to add flavor to bland places, to shake up the sometimes mundane routines of our lives and step into uncomfortable places. We are called to use our saltiness to have difficult conversations, to gain knowledge, and to take action. Jesus told us to be like salt so that we may grow, enhance, and change, and that with our growth, the world might grow too. I know the places in my life where God is calling me outside of my comfort zone. I hope next year in college I continue to have difficult conversations, engage current events fearlessly, and work to see the world from a different perspective than my own. But I don't know how God is calling you outside of your comfort zone. In a little while, you'll have an opportunity to ponder that same question. How is God calling you outside of your comfort zone? I know it's difficult, but I promise, answering that question is like adding salt to an avocado. It makes the world of a difference. Amen.
I have, and I'm sure many of you have as well, gone to see fireworks on the 4th of July, or as we do here in Cranberry, the 5th of July. The whole community gathers together in the darkness, waiting to see the beautiful display. Then all of a sudden, bang, a burst of color shoots across the sky, piercing through the darkness. Everyone falls silent, and for just a moment, night turns to day. And then the light fades away, and the darkness returns. Well, if that was the entire thing, just that first firework, we probably wouldn't have all gathered around. We wouldn't have saved seats for hours for one single firework. There's a brief pause, and then the real show begins. For the next 20 minutes, the fireworks persist, and the light returns in magnificent bursts, filling the night sky and turning night into day. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus preaches, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Jesus is so confident in our potential to do good in the world and spread light, and we are able to easily imagine the words and actions that we say and do to shine our lights. We do this by showing kindness to our peers and our families and to strangers, and by sharing our many gifts and talents with the world. And this light only matters because we live in a world full of darkness. Shining light where light already exists is pointless, but light shown on darkness makes a world of difference. We are well aware of the darkness in our world, whether it's bullying at school or fighting with your friends or family or just turning on the news and watching all the tragedies pile up. It can be very difficult to experience, but we are not helpless or powerless against it. We have the ability to combat the darkness, but not with more darkness, only with light. One of my teachers gave me this metaphor. A dark room, even filled with people, is pitch black. But if even just one person in that dark room lit a candle or shone a flashlight, there would be enough light to see all the people in the room. It may seem silly to think that the actions of just one person can make a difference in the world, but it has to start somewhere. Sure, maybe we can't fix all the problems in society, but by participating in small actions, we are able to make the difference and set an example by shining our light. A little genuine kindness goes a long way today, and we never know how much our light can impact the world. But Jesus isn't calling us as just individuals, but as a whole community too. The whole community is called to shine its light. After all, just as it takes many fireworks to gather the community together, it takes a whole community of individuals to shine their light in truly magnificent ways. Think about our own church community and the light that is shown when we come together. The first Thursday of the month, hundreds of meals are served at TASK. And the third Friday, 80-plus families are given free, healthy groceries and produce. And every summer at VBS, a handful of middle schoolers, under the leadership of a high school student, do a town-wide food drive. And our deacons go out in teams of two and bring light to our homebound neighbors. And several times a year, the youth go out into the world to love and serve God on mission trips. So if what Jesus is preaching is true, and if we sincerely try to spread light with our daily actions, then all of this should add up to a city on a hill whose light cannot be hid. Jody Andrews came to our high school youth group a few months ago and asked us what we thought the church could or should look like in 20 years. What is the church we dream of, the church that we want to be a part of as young adults? There were some changes we wanted. The opportunity to worship and show love to God in different and possibly less conventional ways. Through music and art and all different forms of expression, to have a more interactive worship experience. And for the youth and the church as a whole to be doing even more service, that was something that was very important to us. We eventually came to the conclusion that in order for our church's light to remain lit, we had to merge together the old with the new, to keep alive and honor our well-loved traditions, but to also seek out new and exciting changes. That's our dream for a church community whose light shines. That's our dream of a church that draws the people in like a firework display. It's a church that has the power to turn any night into day, to dispel darkness with good words and bring God's kingdom of heaven within reach. And it starts with one simple question. How is God calling you, calling us, to let our light shine in the darkness?